Are you obsessed with Los Angeles? Head over heels in love with the City of Angels? Well, this is the podcast for you. At LifeHacks LA, we hack the best in arts, eats, and activities in Los Angeles. So join us and become an LA hacker. Baby, baby. Hey, what is up, LA Hackers? This is your host, Stefan, and I want to welcome you to episode number 38 of the Life Hacks LA podcast. You know, Los Angeles is a huge sports town, and if you love sports and you live here, you are spoiled, spoiled, spoiled. That's because we actually have 11 professional sports teams in or near Los Angeles. For hockey, we have the Anaheim Ducks and the LA Kings. For soccer, there's the LA Galaxy and the Los Angeles Football Club. With baseball, there's the LA Angels and the LA Dodgers. For NFL, there's the Los Angeles Chargers and the LA Rams. And for basketball, we have the Los Angeles Sparks in the WNBA, the Clippers in the NBA, and of course, there's the Los Angeles Lakers. But I think most fans of specifically LA sports teams would agree that the LA Lakers stand out as the most beloved team with the most devoted fan base. You can make a case for the Dodgers as well, but most people would stay with the Lakers. So I wanted to bring on as a guest the ultimate Lakers superfan. His name is Aaron Cohen, and he runs a Lakers superfan account called Lakers All Day Every Day. Now, there are quite a few pages dedicated to Laker fans, but at the time of this recording, Aaron's account has 209,000 followers on Instagram, and most people would agree that he is definitely one of our city's biggest Laker superfans. So in this episode, Aaron and I chop it up and talk about everything LA Lakers. Sit back and enjoy, and as always, make sure to stay until the end of the episode where I will be sharing my own special LA sports fan hack. All right, I'll see you on the other side. Hey, what's going on, LA Hackers? Welcome to another episode of Life Hacks LA Podcast. We've got a very exciting guest on today. He's an LA super fan. His name is Aaron, and he is the owner of Lakers All Day Every Day. How you doing today, Aaron?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's awesome to have you on, man. I was telling you before the interview that there's like a lot of Laker super fan pages out there, but I really enjoy yours because you can tell it's like super authentic.
Yeah. I mean, I've been a fan ever since I was really young, and that's probably the biggest thing with my Instagram. I try to keep it real and authentic at all times because, as everyone knows, on social media, like, you get all these people doing stuff for likes and comments and shares, but I honestly just post what I feel like, and I post my feelings, my personal thoughts, and hope it resonates with other Laker fans, especially during a time like right now.
Yeah, very true. All right, so we're going to get into your account and more about the Lakers. But first, I wanted to get into a little bit about you and where you come from. Where are you from originally, and how did you make your way to Los Angeles?
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Los Angeles, specifically Beverly Hills. I'm 20 years old. I've been studying here my whole life, went to school here. I go to USC currently. I'm a junior, and I'm studying sports media in the comm field, as people can expect. I've been wanting to work in the sports field ever since I started this page at 13 years old. I've just been here my whole life, never left. I mean, I've never been away from LA for more than 2 months.
Wow, that's crazy. Because, yeah, normally, so my next question is going to be, what do you love about living in Los Angeles so much? Because I have so many guests on that are not originally from LA. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they moved here for the weather, or they moved here for all the activities to do. But I guess you're just used to it. You've had it that way your entire life.
Right. I honestly take LA for granted. Like, I just went to New York a couple weeks ago, and it was freezing, and then I come home and it's 75 and sunny. It's like beautiful. So I mean, the weather, just the nightlife, just the city is always, there's always something going on. And then aside from everything that people know LA for, obviously we have the Lakers, and I'm a huge diehard Laker fan, and just being in LA, it's part of the culture. The Lakers are a deep part of Los Angeles as a whole. I mean, everywhere you go, even before the tragic news, I mean, there's murals everywhere. Everyone's wearing Laker jerseys. I mean, it's a very relevant topic in LA. So I just love that because, I mean, I'm a huge Laker fan. And like I said before, the longest I was away from Los Angeles was for 2 months. And in that time, I kind of missed the LA vibe. I missed everything about it, the weather, the people, and obviously the Laker fans. And on top of that, it was hard for me to keep up with the Lakers because of the time difference. I was in Israel and there's a 10-hour difference. So like for games, I needed to wake up at like 3 or 2 in the morning. But yeah, I mean, can't get away from LA too long. And just some specific things about LA that I love is some typical, like the beach or all the restaurants that they have or the nightlife on Sunset Avenue for people that are from LA or know that street. Yeah, just basic. I'm really a simple guy.
Yeah. So speaking of the Lakers, so you've got this, you're a huge super fan, like you mentioned, you've got this huge brand out there, a Laker fan page. And, but before we get into that Laker fan page, I wanted to ask you, you kind of alluded to it a little bit, like you grew up in LA, so you've always been a Laker fan. But what is it about the Lakers? I mean, there's so many other sports teams, or the Dodgers and the Kings. What is it about the Lakers that makes them so important to you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge Dodger fan. Just want to put that out there, but nothing compares to my love for the Lakers. And it started with Kobe. I mean, that's what it started with. I mean, if people ask me, like, are you a Laker fan or are you a Kobe fan, if that question makes sense. And I'm like, yeah, that totally makes sense. I'm a Kobe fan. I fell in love with his game at a really young age, and he happened to be in the Lakers. And from there, like I said, if Kobe ever got traded or signed somewhere else, I would still be a Laker fan. Don't get me wrong. I would definitely be a Laker fan, but I would be a bigger fan of the team that Kobe was on. I just fell in love with his greatness and his tenacity and his willingness to win and do whatever it takes, like people always say. But I mean, it really comes down to that. I was 3 years old, 4 years old, and me and my family watched every Laker game every night. And that transitioned into nights after school in middle school when I was in 5th, 6th, 7th grade. My rule was, you got to finish your homework before 7:30, because once the game starts, you're not doing anything but focusing on the Laker game. It doesn't matter if it's commercials. It doesn't matter if it's halftime. I do nothing but sit down and watch every second of every night of every game. I mean, that's the way it's been ever since I was young, and that continues up until now.
Wow, and you've seen, like, Kobe was here 20 years, so you saw him as a baby when you were a baby.
I got to see him for probably 14, 13 years around.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, there was only one time where he was close to leaving, right? It was after Shaq left, and those couple years the Lakers had, you know, before they got Gasol. There was, like, this brief period, but it didn't last very long, where he was almost going
to
leave.
Yeah, I hate to admit it, but it's a confirmed report that he almost went to the Clippers. I think it was 2007.
Get out of here. I thought it was an East Coast team. That would have really been brutal.
He was ready to go to the Clippers. He was ready. He was like, get me out of the Lakers organization. He was just fed up with the organization as a whole. But, I mean, we know.
Yeah. Well, you try anyone nowadays working for the same person for 20 years. I mean, there's going to be some ups and downs, you know?
Right, for sure. Understandable.
All right, cool. So you have, like we said, you have one of the best Laker fan brands out there. It's called Lakers All Day, Every Day. Can you tell us a little bit more about that, like why you decided to start it? You said you started at 13, right?
Yeah, in 2013, and I was 13 years old. I created the page, and I was just a 13-year-old boy, just graduated middle school, and I was going to high school. It was in the summer between 8th and 9th grade, and I was just so passionate about the Lakers, and Instagram just came out, I think, a year before that, and it was starting to become a thing. But let me just point out, it wasn't a thing at the time. It was it was 2013, and no one really cared about Instagram, or it was definitely not a big thing like it is now. So I just made that page so I can post literally pictures of Kobe dunking on LeBron. That's what I know. My first three photos were pictures of Kobe dunking on LeBron. I'm like, yeah, Kobe's better than LeBron. I hate you, LeBron. Like, stuff like that. I had no intentions to do anything with the page. It was just me posting, and I was a young man. I was just posting stuff for the hell of it. And as we know, like, over time, it started growing and growing, and I started realizing that there could be a future for this page. But it only came to me probably a couple of years ago, like 2 or 3 years ago, that this was going to be something important and big and something that can lead me to opportunities that I can get into later. But yeah, I just kept rolling with the page, and I kept sharing my enthusiasm and passion and love for the Lakers to everyone else. And at the time, I was getting like, what, 100, 200 likes on a photo, and I thought that was the craziest thing in the world. And as a young boy, I mean, that's super cool. I mean, and take it back to 2013 and 14, like, that was a lot. But yeah, just to go back to your question, I literally just made it because I wanted to share my love and passion with other Lakers fans. I had no expectations for it and no specific reason for it. My sisters even told me, like, oh, Aaron, you're going to give up on the page in like 2 or 3 weeks. I'm like, I don't have any expectations for it. I'm just posting pictures. I mean, that's all it was.
Yeah, just staying consistent with it. And like you said, you're authentically a fan. But yeah, that's pretty amazing. Just to let our listeners know, I'm looking at his account right now. It's 209,000 followers on Instagram. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
So congratulations on that,
Aaron. Yeah, thank you.
Now, I got to ask you, how long did it take you to warm up to LeBron when he first came to the Lakers?
This is something that I've never said publicly, just because I'm the owner of this Laker fan page. And as one of the major figures in the Laker fan, in the Laker fandom, you mean, you got to be on Team LeBron. And honestly, when the Lakers got him, I was like kind of upset, because I've always been a LeBron hater just because of the way he's so cocky, and I don't know. It's a whole other conversation, but we can just fast forward to now, and I've fully accepted him. And the icing on the cake was when he made that speech in the first game back after Kobe passed on Friday versus the Blazers. That speech was just like, everyone felt it, and anyone who didn't accept him up until that point accepted him. I don't know a single person who still hates LeBron, a Laker fan that hates LeBron. I mean, that, like, how can you not accept LeBron after that speech? It was just from the heart. He threw the paper on the ground. He was like, I would be selling you guys short if I read off this piece of paper. So, I mean, I love that.
Yeah, and I think the thing with LeBron, I'm a huge basketball fan, by the way, so I've been watching, you know, for years. The thing about LeBron is that he rubs a lot of people the wrong way, especially when he's on the other team. But, you know, he handles things the right way too. Like, even before that speech and the whole Kobe incident, he paid his respect to Kobe. You know, he didn't just come in and try to be, you know, forgetting all about the Laker legacy that Kobe left behind. He was always deferential to him.
Right. He was very respectful. That's something that was, I forgot to point out. He knows how much Kobe meant to everyone, but specifically Laker fans. And he made sure to be very respectful about everything, because he knows that Kobe paved the way for him to be in a Laker uniform, and just the loyalty of all the fans. It started with, obviously, before Kobe, but Kobe handed it down to LeBron.
Yeah, I think as a huge sports fan, I can't really think of any other sports figure that means more to one city than Kobe Bryant. 100%. Like off the top of my head, I can't think of anybody.
100%, you're right.
Yeah. All right, so we're already talking about Kobe, so we'll talk about it. For anyone listening to this podcast, we're actually recording it a week after? No, it's only been 4 or 5 days since the memorial that they had at Staples Center. That was on Monday, and today's Thursday. So it's a little tough to talk about, especially when you grew up your whole life watching Kobe. I was a big Kobe fan. But the positive is there's been such like an outpouring of tribute to him from LA. You mentioned it earlier. I've been tracking it. There's over 50 murals now dedicated to Kobe Bryant in or near Los Angeles.
Yeah, there's actually a lot more than that. I discovered it yesterday. There's this website called KobeMural.com, and it shows not only the murals in LA, but in the entire US, all the locations. And there was like several hundred of them. It was pretty awesome to see, like, you can pull up all the pictures of them and tap on them and ask for directions. But yeah, just the city of LA and the entire world in general has just been mourning this loss together and showing beautiful forms of tribute. I can't tell you how many DMs I've received of people like showing their artwork and showing their murals, showing videos that they created, and just personal family moments, personal moments of how they connected to Kobe. He really like affected everyone in a positive way.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible to see the outpouring of love, especially from people in Los Angeles. I'm glad you gave a shout out to Kobe Mural, because him and I have actually talked back and forth. So my website, I track every mural that's in Los Angeles or near Los Angeles, because I'm LA specific. And you're right, his is pretty amazing as well, because he tracks all over the world, and there's like a bunch in the Philippines, and right. You know, it's just crazy. But it's really cool to see, though.
Yeah, it definitely is.
So keeping on that, the memorial was on Monday. It was really, really tough to get a ticket. I know, because I tried. And there were so many people who wanted to show up and attend that and pay tribute to Kobe. But I saw that you went to the memorial. I saw in your Instagram stories. And can you just talk about a little bit about what it was like to actually be there? I mean, we watched it on TV and we saw the emotion, but what was it like to actually be in the arena?
Yeah, for sure. It was, one word to describe it was different, because right when I got home, I rewatched the entire thing on YouTube, and I can just, like, that's one thing. It was just different. But just starting from way before I even decided to go to the memorial, I was offered by three different people on my page their own tickets. They're like, here, take my tickets. You deserve it more than I do, and I feel like you would appreciate it more than I would. And I was like, absolutely not. Like, we're all Laker fans, and we're all mourning this loss of Kobe. And I just wouldn't feel right taking another person's tickets. And some people offered me to go with them. And once that, like, the first opportunity was for me to actually take the ticket, but the second opportunity was to go with the actual person. And honestly, I didn't want to go, just because I'm still right now, like, in total like denial, and just I'm broken from what happened. And I didn't feel like I could take going to the memorial, just because of how real it was all becoming. I didn't know what to expect, and I just said, maybe I'll just sit on my couch and watch it alone and just be alone, just be alone. And so the third time, someone offered me to go with them, and I was like, I can't turn it down again. Like, I have to go. I feel like I definitely should. And this is just a unique opportunity. That's a way you can put it. So I went with one of my followers, who was so nice to offer me his ticket to go with him, an extra ticket that he had. I never knew him before that. We just met there at Staples Center on that day, on Monday. So we went, there was a crazy line to get in. There was checkpoints. For people that don't know, I mean, you weren't allowed in the area, in the Staples Center area, without a ticket. So we had to meet like a couple miles down before we.
Miles?
Not a couple miles. One mile. Yeah. But just the amount of traffic around there. And so we met up, we went in, we went inside. It took like 30 minutes to get in. We went straight to our seats. And I've been to several Laker games, and I've never, ever, ever seen Staples Center like this. It was just, everyone was completely silent from my experience, from where I sat. No one was laughing. No one was really talking. Everyone just sat in their seats and waited for the memorial to start. And just the vibe, it was kind of like you knew something was up. Even if you didn't know, if you were just there walking in, you would know, like, it's different. Everyone was super respectful. And once it started, like, personally for me, they started by playing a highlight, several highlights of Kobe, and within 10 seconds, like, my tears were just flowing. It was so hard for me. And that's one thing I've always avoided since his retirement. I've avoided watching his highlights or his podcast or his videos, anything that had to do with Kobe. I just couldn't take it, because I honestly wasn't over his retirement. I was still missing him and seeing him play, that it hurt me to see him. And I was getting over that. I was close to being fully like, okay, I can start looking at him again and watching his stuff and accepting that he's no longer in the NBA. And then this, obviously this happened. So it really hurt. But just the memorial itself, it was, in the beginning, I was like, what am I doing here? This is making me so much more upset and sad. And then Vanessa came out, and then Shaq, and then Michael Jordan. And those three, I wanted to point out, they really, really provided closure and helped me become more positive, just to see that they were hurting so much from what happened. And then Vanessa specifically, the way she spoke and her strength and courage that she showed in front of everyone, in front of the world, it was just, that gave me, and I'm sure I could speak for everyone else, it gave us all strength just to see, because she was the one who was probably the most affected from this. Obviously, it was her husband and her daughter. So, I mean, to see her get up and speak, I didn't know. I didn't even know she would speak. I didn't know she was going to be there. People were like, we haven't seen or heard from her. Like, is she going to be there? Is she going to speak, at least at the very minimum? And she did, and she did a great job with it. So, I mean, just being in the building, it was like unbelievable. Everyone was just taken back, and it was a very, very real moment hearing from everyone, especially live.
Yeah, that translated on TV as well. No one knew if she was going to speak. And then when she got up to speak, it's not like she's a professional speaker and does this every day. And then given the circumstances, but I mean, she barely wavered. I mean, she, like you said, it was unbelievable, like how she was able to just stick with it and give her tribute, you know?
Right.
And then Michael Jordan was amazing too. I mean, I think everyone was a little surprised that Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant texted back and forth and had this relationship. I mean, I just thought they had a surface relationship.
Right. We learned a lot of new information in that. A lot of things came out that we had no idea, like what you just pointed out with Michael Jordan's relationship with him. And then a couple of those funny stories that Shaq said. I mean, those were, to be in the building, like it was very heavy. And like everyone I looked around, like they had tears and tissues. But those jokes kind of helped to lighten the situation. And just seeing everyone support, including all the celebrities and athletes, just being there and paying their respects to him. I left and I felt better for sure. I definitely felt better.
Yeah, it did give a little bit of closure to the situation, even though, like you said, I mean, it's been, a month now, and it still doesn't sink in. And I think it's just because it was so out of the blue, you know?
Right.
But so let me ask you about that was the official memorial, but when the accident first happened, a lot of people went down to Staples Center. I went down to Staples Center. Did you go down during that time, or was it too tough?
Yeah. The day it happened, I was actually home in my apartment at USC alone. My roommate was home for the weekend. So I was still in bed at the time, and I looked at my phone and, I saw the TMZ report, and I was like, all right, this is BS. Like they once reported that Lamar Odom died and it wasn't true. So I had hope. I was like, all right, this is like, I'm not even freaked out right now because I was upset. I was like, why would you make a joke about, why would you even do this? And then obviously we see slowly that everyone else is confirming it. And then Woj confirmed it. I was like, all right, like this is not a joke anymore. I'm just like, I put my phone down. I'm like freaking out. I just didn't know what to think. And I just started breaking down in tears. I called my dad. And I was like, and he just heard me crying, and like he had no idea what happened. And I told him, and he came right away and picked me up and just tried to keep me out of the house and doing stuff and try to help me keep my mind off of everything. But then my uncle, my cousin came and got me and took me to Staples Center just to be there. I honestly just wanted to be home alone and not talking to anyone and just let it all out. Cause I was so confused and upset and sad. I was just feeling every emotion, but just going to Staples Center that day helped a little bit because I saw like the thousands of Laker fans there crying and bringing flowers and signing stuff. And it was just like, it was a sight to see. That's how I would put it. It was definitely something to see, seeing all the Laker fans hours after the news broke, just showing up to the house that he built, to the building that he built. And it was amazing to see.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible. And, you know, any situation like that, it's good to be around like-minded people, you know, people that are feeling the same thing that you're feeling. So, but man, I didn't want to depress you and talk about Kobe the whole episode, but, you know, it just happened. And
yeah, it's important.
I don't know. It's hit everyone in LA really hard. So I definitely want to get your thoughts on that. But let's jump back to Lakers All Day, Every Day, your account. So what are your plans with that? Like you've got this huge following on Instagram. What are your plans with the account in the future? You're just going to keep posting about the Lakers, or do you have somewhere you're going with it? Or?
Yeah. So I started thinking about this question. Like people were asking, like, what do you want to do with this page? Like, what is your end goal? You can say like, what are you trying to do? And, I didn't have an answer for them because I never really thought about the question. And after a couple of times being asked that, I was like, hey, maybe it's a good question. Maybe I should actually think about that. At the beginning of college, I started to think about like, what am I going to do in 4 years when I have a job and I probably won't be able to run this page. So right now I've come to the conclusion that I'm going to use this page as a foundation, which I have been doing, for my career and kind of like a resume or portfolio of what I'm able to do. And it's really helped because through this page, I've been able to do a ton of cool things. For example, I was able to go for a weekend to Vegas to represent Lamar Odom on social media. I was connected to his manager. It originally started with I posted a story of Lamar Odom on my Instagram, and he followed me and he saw that, and he was like, thank you so much for the constant support. I just want to say I've been seeing what you've been doing for me, and I just want to thank you. So that conversation turned into monthly friendly conversations, very short. But eventually I was like, look, I would love to do like business with you. And he directed me straight to his manager, and we started talking. And it was right around the time where he was the headliner for the Big Three League. And long story short, she invited me out to Vegas, and I was there, met him, and kind of helped her cover him on that Big Three stage. And it was an awesome weekend. I met a lot of cool people, but that all started from my Laker page. And just after I met him and went home from Vegas, the manager called me and wanted to have me run his social media full time, which was awesome. And I ended up doing that for about a year, which was really cool. And then that I had to cut that off because at USC, I'm currently running the social media there for the basketball team. So, I mean, it was kind of hard to juggle those both. But it all started with my Laker page. Again, it all comes down to making this page. And I was a 13-year-old boy with zero expectations. That's just one or two of the things that have come out of this page. But aside from that, I've had so many cool collaborations. For example, with Converse, they gave me the opportunity to make my own Lakers customized shoe. And promote that. We can get into that later about all the perks and stuff.
No, I'd like to get into it now because I was, you know, that's what I was getting ready to ask you, because okay. I see these pictures that you have with Laker players and stuff. And, you know, it's cool that you put yourself out there because, you know, people want to work with someone who's put in the work. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like that you're, you know, success is attracted to success. Lamar Odom's not going to contact just some guy out there. He's seeing what you're doing, and that's the way he even knows about you, you know?
Right. Yeah. So for the first 5 years of me running this page, I completely hid myself. I would never post a picture of me. I would never like reveal any information about myself because, I mean, I just didn't see the point in that. I was like, I don't know. I was a young boy and I didn't want people. My mom and dad always told me like, don't make friends with strangers. Don't put your information online. I mean, now I'm kicking myself. I'm like, I wish I revealed, I put out my name, and I wish I always put my face and stuff. But I even like people speculating like, oh, wait, is that your face? Is this you? And I was like, no, that's not me. And like, it was me. But I'm so happy that I started putting my face out there and my own thoughts and just becoming more personal.
Why do you say that, Aaron? Do you say that because then people feel like they already know you before they even met you?
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I think that as a follower myself of other media, I just put myself in the consumer's shoes. And what do I want to see in an Instagram page or in anything? Like, what would I want to see? What would I want to interact with? And that's just what I do. Like, I would want to be really relate. I would want to post the most relatable content. And that's what I do. Just being able to connect with people and really giving everyone a voice. That's the biggest reason for my success on social media, is because I give everyone else a voice and I speak for a lot of people. And oftentimes people on Instagram or any social media platform don't have, like, the typical user on these apps don't have a lot of followers, but like everyone wants to have a voice and everyone wants people to hear their opinion. So I do that in two ways. I mean, I speak for a lot of people when I share my thoughts and feelings and opinions. And then my entire comment section on every post is a huge forum for any Laker fan to voice their opinions. And almost every comment is heard or replied to, or it's just great discussion for people. And I know a lot of people are passionate about the Lakers. So, I mean, it's a great opportunity and space for people to voice their opinions.
Yeah. I think it was a great decision by you to show your face. And because I think it's a subconscious thing, because I wanted to get like a Lakers super fan on here, and I watched a couple of your stories, and I think that's the reason why I contacted you, is because it almost felt like I knew you already, even though we never met.
Right. And I mean, that's not something weird to say, because I can't tell you how many DMs I've received from people saying like, I don't even know you, bro, but like, I love you. And like, I just want to say thank you for everything you've been doing and sharing your personal thoughts and just helping me. I mean, specifically right now with what we're going through all together, but in general, I've been someone that people can relate to. And I'm really happy that I can do that, because I mean, it's a great feeling. Like, when I get that from other people on social media, when I really can connect to them, it's like a great feeling. And that's all I want to do. I genuinely want to make people happy. And and like spread positivity and love with my page. That's really what I want to do.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I'm still pretty new to the page, so I'm at the like level. I'm not at the love level yet, but I'll get there.
I'll get you there.
All right. I'm not at the stalker level yet. But hey, you know, we're coming to the end of this interview. I gotta ask you this because it's 2020 and the Lakers have got what, the best record in the league or the second best record?
Second best record behind the Bucks, or just insane.
Yeah, it's behind the Bucks. So what do you think their chances of winning the championship are this year?
I'm going to be completely honest. Like, I don't think it's a clear shot right now. I mean, the Lakers have a lot of things to work on. Their shooting, their defense, and just their ability to beat the top teams in the league. They definitely are able to do that. They've beat plenty of good teams in this league. I don't need to name them. But there are those teams that they're just unable to beat, including so far the Clippers. They have not beaten the Clippers yet. They played the Bucks once. They haven't beaten them. But the Lakers as a whole, like, any fan who watches every single game, there's noticeable problems and things that need to be fixed. I don't necessarily agree that the Lakers needed to make a move at the trade deadline. I think that they did a great job by not doing anything, because with what comes with trades is also a new beginning for that player and the whole team. And right now, the chemistry in the Lakers is up top and elite. That's something that we have down. It's just about executing the game plan and just doing everything right. So the Lakers, I'm going to be honest, they definitely will make a deep run, and they definitely can win it all. I'll say that for sure. But right now, there's still things that need to be fixed and critiqued, because, I mean, they're not perfect, and there's a lot of room for improvement.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. You're not just a blind super fan, because I kind of see the same thing. Like, the Lakers look really good, but I don't know. They just seem to be missing something that you would need for that championship piece. Right. Can't put my finger on it. I actually think their defense is playing really well, but I don't know. If LeBron and AD aren't killing it, then I don't know where else they get their points.
Right, exactly. Like, there was some stat. I don't know exactly the numbers because it's not in front of me, but it was like something like when LeBron scores over 30 points, or like 18-0 or something like that. So,
my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. So hopefully he can stay healthy, because it's a long season.
Yeah, for sure. We're almost at the playoffs. So, I mean, buckle down.
All right, cool. All right, man. Well, it's been awesome talking to you. Is there anything else you want to know? You want people to know about being a Lakers super fan that I didn't ask you or we didn't already talk about?
Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, any questions? Like anything you can throw out there, just about being a Laker fan or about the Lakers, or you know, that I didn't ask you.
Yeah, for sure. Just one thing that I've been seeing on my page a lot is that. I know we're all super, super, super passionate about the Lakers, and sometimes it gets the best of us. And I just want to say, like, try your best for anyone who follows my page already, or if you don't and you end up following, like, try to keep it respectful and positive whenever you want to debate something or just talk about Laker basketball. Always keep it respectful and just respect everyone's opinions. And even if you disagree, just disagree in a nice way. Because, I mean, I know Laker fans can get crazy, including myself. I'm not – singling myself out. I do this stuff all the time. I go at people in the comments whenever I feel like they're attacking me, but it's all fun and games, you know. Like, just don't make it personal. Don't call out their family or threaten them or anything. Just have a good time. That's the beauty of it. You can argue, just like, be nice about it, you know.
Yeah, that's true. There's so many negative places on the internet. It's nice to go to a place where you can just be a fan and like have fun with other fans. Hey, I did want to ask you something. You mentioned this before the interview, so I want to make sure that we put this on here. We're talking about how expensive Laker tickets are and how hard it is to get to games because they're the most popular team in LA. You had mentioned something about SeatGeek and a deal you have with them.
Right. Yeah. So I have a partnership with SeatGeek where basically if you're a new user on the website or app, that you can use my code. It's LADE, Lakers all day, every day, but it's just LAD, and you'll get $20 off your first purchase, because I know Laker tickets are really expensive, and there's really no secret website or secret hack, as you can say, to finding cheap Laker tickets. But I mean, that's SeatGeek alone is already always the cheapest or equally the cheapest online. There's no other place you can find cheaper tickets. But on top of that, if you want to take $20 off, yeah, you can use my code. That's kind of my trick for you guys.
Hey, that's an easy hack, and then you can buy yourself two beers at the game as well.
There you go. 21.
All right, Aaron, thank you so much for coming on. So where's the best place for people to go who want to follow your adventures and get more information on the Lakers?
Yeah, I mean, so like you said, my Laker page is Lakers All Day Every Day. Same thing for my Facebook. And then my Twitter is secondary content, more like on the spot, whatever I'm feeling short kind of thing. And that's Aaron Cohen NBA. And then if you want to follow my personal journey, you can follow on Instagram at Aaron Cohen. That's really where I post more personal stuff, but somehow it always ends up tying up to the Lakers.
Yeah. And that's spelled A-R-O-N.
Right.
For Aaron. I think I called you Aaron at the beginning because I'm sure you've got this your whole life, but I was so used to A-A-R-O-N, you know?
Right. Yeah.
All right, Aaron. Thanks for coming on, my friend. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, no problem, man. Thank you.
All right. Later, brother.
Hey there. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Aaron from Lakers All Day, Every Day. I want to thank him again for coming on and sharing all his thoughts about LA's favorite team. And if you're a huge Lakers fan, I recommend you follow him on Instagram at Lakers All Day, Every Day. All right, guys. Here's my LA sports hack. There are not many for the Lakers because they are the hottest ticket in town. So my hack is going to be for the Dodgers. Now, the Dodgers have lots of great hacks. And a really cool one is there are a couple of ways for you to get onto Dodger Field, which is a very, very cool experience. One is you can go to a Friday night fireworks game. All Friday night home games for the Dodgers, they have a fireworks show, and you can go right down on the outfield grass to watch it. For sure, an LA hacker bucket list activity. Another way you can get on the field, and this one is just for your kids, is they have the kids run the bases. After most Sunday games, they allow kids 14 and under to do a lap around the bases. Just head to center field at the end of the game and your kid will be making the laps. All right, that's all I have for you this week. As always, please subscribe on whatever platform you're listening on. And if you want LA's best hacks, you can download our free ebook at lifehacksla.com/10hacks. All right, guys, I'll see you next week.